I love you. My children, with an everlasting love. I've desired fellowship with you more than your words can say or express. It has always been the Father's will to bring you into the fullness of everything that I made you and created inside of you through the new birth. My petition to you, those that are watching and listening in the days ahead, is to continue to revisit specific instructions that I have given to this church and to others worldwide. Go back and hear again the blueprint prophecies. Go back and hear again and again subsequent prophecies. For even as I spoke in days of old and said to Joshua, as he was about to go into the land, that he was to meditate day and night on the very things that I had given in the law. And if he would do that, then I would make his way prosperous, and then he would have good success. I say unto you that I have given unto you specific directions. Through many of these prophecies, I have said to you, come away with me to a place of intimacy. And I have promised that there would be a grace, that for every hour that you would apply yourself, I would cause you to come to a place where your heart yielded all the more, that I would bring forth a desire. I've promised that I would bring forth a desire, that the greatest desire of your life would be to spend the hours necessary. And I say unto you again, to those in this house and those listening, renew your meditation on my directives, the things that have come forth from this place and others, specifically for the birthing of this revival. It will not be birthed without prayer. What is it, someone may ask, that brings forth this outpouring? It is prayer and prayer alone. It is seeking my face in a continuous fashion. Yes, sir. I'm not asking for more, saith the Spirit of the Lord. I'm asking for everything. I'm not asking you to give me more of your life. I'm asking you to give me all of your life. I say it to you again, do at least what you know that I've asked you to do. Do everything in your power not to fall below that mark, and then trust me to increase as you go forward. Because to the intercessors and to those who do not even count themselves as intercessors, Joel's army must be empowered by this grace. Maha elaole idiata kobeskete, yes. Mahote of lakletete. Maole kale ifraste ifata, haha, imasote. Yes, sir. Mahole karesete. Mohuri idiaska. Doctrine is the safeguard. It's the fence. It's the corral around the sheep that none are lost. But make no mistake, even with the soundest of doctrine that you have, if you do not birth this in the Spirit, it will not be birthed. If you do not vigilantly pray and seek my face, revelation will not be enough. Doctrine will not be enough. Intimacy in my presence and face to face is what I'm asking for, along with the soundness of truth that is already at work, says the Spirit of the Lord. Mahala ahi aha moho keresete. This is not grievous to those who love me. For those who love me, there's a cry in your heart saying, Lord, help me to find more of a place to spend the hours that this thing may be birthed in this house and in many other places, says the Spirit of the Lord. I am pleased with you. I desire you. I love you. But I am instructing you specifically to go back and listen again and again to those things, and specifically to the blueprint for this house and for all others who will hear these things. Ma alachale ifla deketi akloba. Eha isekalasote mehidiasoto. Oftentimes, my children want more spoken to them, instructed to them, even more revelation knowledge. But I say unto you, why should I give them more when they are not yet even fulfilling that which they know and that which I've given to them? So come away with me. Come to that secret place, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Men and women, find the hours. You have no enemies. There is no one on this earth your enemy against this. You have one enemy. It is the distraction of whatever it is that renders an excuse. So seek me, saith the Spirit of the Lord, that all things come under submission. And again, I am pleased. In my pleasure, go forward. In my pleasure, seek me more. This is the hour of the intercessor. This is the heyday of the intercessor. This is the fuel that burns for revival. Maha echa diekete. Meha lo sote. Meha ikiato karesete. Your tears of intimacy equivocate to millions of souls being birthed. It is not your knowledge. It is not your blatant knowledge, but your intimacy intermingled with truth that will bring this forth, says the Spirit of the Lord. You lift your hands with me and just praise Him right now for wisdom and direction, Lord. We're not orphans. We thank You that we have an instructor, a guide, a principle of truth to guide us and lead us to all righteousness and to all truth. We give You all the praise. We give You all the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to give you the opportunity to greet one another. We appreciate your giving online, and anyone in here that has anything to give while you're greeting each other, you can put your millions up here. We've got baskets to hold it. We appreciate it. If we fill those up, we'll go and get something else. Hallelujah. Why don't you go around and greet someone? We love you. We appreciate you watching and being part of the, more than watching, actually worshiping and being part of everything that's going on tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Sunday was wonderful. We had a great time. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you awake tonight? Sunday was wonderful. We had a great time. Hallelujah. Blessings. Everyone that is watching, we appreciate you being with us and part of the service. If you were here Sunday, we hope you participated wherever you were at. And it did my heart good to see all these little kids up around the front. Did they know what they were doing? Probably not, but we're teaching them how to worship God. And that's the right thing. They were jumping and moving, and we were worshiping God for celebrating something that recently happened that was a great victory in America. But what a wonderful praise time, and we're just going to believe God for many more of those to come. So we just always want to see these little kids grow up in the presence of God. Somebody might say, well, they don't know exactly. Listen, let them go. Let them learn. Let them, you know. The Pharisees had an exception with the little kids that were running and jumping and praising God in the temple when Jesus healed the blind and the lame there. And Jesus... He let them alone. Let them alone. Yeah. Hallelujah. So praise God. I am most glad and most excited to bring on a very special guest speaker. He comes all the way from, what is it? Jefferson. I was trying to think of that, what that street is. So Mr. Homer Betancourt is going to minister for us tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have, he is coming with his beautiful wife. Hallelujah. Amen. This is, one of those seasons in my life. It's a good season. It's a most wonderful season. But it's one of those times where the old adage, I don't know if you've heard it, where you're meeting yourself, coming and going. It's that busy, but it's busy in a wonderful way. It's okay to be busy. As long as it doesn't distract you from continuing to going into God. And I thought about today, Matthew 14, when Jesus learned of the disciples came to him and told him that his cousin in the flesh, John, had been beheaded. And he took them out in the wilderness. Mark chapter 6 gives the same rendition, and Mark said that they were so busy. Jesus and his disciples were so busy in ministry during those days that they had no leisure, not even enough time, and I'm paraphrasing, to even eat. Somebody said, I need to lose weight. Revival will do it. Revival will do it. When you come to the place where you're so busy doing the things of God and whatever else he's instructing. And Jesus said to them, he said, there's no time even to eat or no leisure. Let's go apart. And he took his disciples. This is amazing. He took his disciples to get away from the crowd So they had a few days. He said, you need rest. And I'm paraphrasing, but the word rest is there. You need rest. You've not even been able to. You've been eating on the run, basically. And he took them apart in the wilderness. And the word says, in, I believe it was in Matthew, but you can put Mark 6 and Matthew 14 together. But the crowds outran them out of the city. They saw the direction the boat was going. The crowds outran them. That's the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew 14. And when they got out to rest, the crowds were already there. I don't know that you know what we're praying in, this thing called revival. We want to see the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. We've got people that are giving themselves over to tongues and worship and spending more and more time in prayer, and I'm so thankful. But part of all that is getting us ready for life changes. So there's going to be life changes where they get out and say, you know what, we were just trying to run away from you, but here's thousands of you. But you know what Jesus did? He didn't say, my God, I need rest. Will you all leave me alone? It said he was moved with compassion. He was moved. That was the feeding of the 5,000. He healed their sick and the blind and the lame, and that was a great healing. So, hallelujah. Praise God. These are exciting days. If you're a person that says, I just need plenty of space and plenty of me time, when you're praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is not just praying in revival. He's expanding you. He's changing you. So, hallelujah. So, would you bring on Dr. Betancourt here? And we want to hear more of what Doctor has to say. Hallelujah.
You praise God for any shots of grace that He gives you throughout your life in Him. You know, I've been with Pastor Bonk, I guess after 3 weeks after I got converted, I've been with him as my pastor. I don't know, that's be 27, 28 years, I don't know. I've been with him that long. And during that time, there's times where there's wonderful times in God where you feel His grace, and you feel like you reach the top of the mountain, you're high, you're ecstatic, and you feel it. And you thank God for that grace. That grace changes you. But when someone or anyone, I've heard it throughout the years where people are struggling and they have a high point in their life, they say to themselves, this is it. I have figured it out. And I go like this. And I say to myself, oh man, wait till 2 or 3 weeks go by. Saying that, I'll say this, and praise God for those moments, man. It's nice to get a shot of grace like that. The two biggest moments, and I swear to you, no, I just tell you, I don't have to swear to you, because I shouldn't have to say I swear, because if you preach the truth, you preach the truth. You'd have to swear to teach the truth. If you got to swear you're teaching the truth, then you're probably lying. So I wasn't lying, but I just said swear. But, in these 28 years of knowing Christ, I've had two moments in my life that were pretty. I was in the valley, not because of sin, but two trying times in my life when I had the strokes and when I would wake up in the morning. Now I know why, understanding grace. And I told Pastor the other day, if we understood grace more and more as a church, and I'm talking to myself, man, I'm right there in that first chair in the first row talking to me. If we understood grace more and more, every one of us during every worship service we'll be up here on our face. Homie, why don't you come up here? There's reasons why I don't come up here now. Nothing spiritually. Pastor Bronk knows why. I worked some things out with my health. But if we really understood grace, then every worship service would be here on our face. We'd be just sold out to worship. If we truly understood grace, the common headache would keep us out of church. We're not supposed to get headaches, but the common emotion has neutralized the saint. 99.3 degrees, oop, can't go. Business meeting, can't go. When I was in business, I used to create business meetings around church time so I wouldn't go. Can I get an amen? But the more you fall in love with God, church is a passion for you. It's a passion. So these 28 years of being born again, there's two moments in my life where they were the lowest points of my Christian life. That's when I had those strokes and my mouth was crooked and I couldn't talk really. And I would go outside and pray, and I would pray in the spirit. I could just see the spit going down my mouth. And I couldn't remember nothing. I would turn my CD player on, hit play, hear the CDs, and just so unfruitful. I would cry because I couldn't understand nothing. Spit going down my mouth when I had them strokes, but I felt nothing. As a matter of fact, although Miss Candy knows, she remembers, she went over one day, they gave me a CD, and I was crying. And I guess she went back and told Jim Martin and Pastor Bronco, they came and prayed for me. It was during that time, and it was a down time, man. I felt nothing, man. I felt nothing. No edification, no revelation, nothing. I just felt grit. But it wasn't grit that kept me going. It was the grace of God. We don't need grit. We need to understand grace. We don't need to put all our eggs in a basket of an emotional high, because you will come down. It's evident you will come down. So that moment in my life, the lowest point of my life in the valley, I didn't stop. I didn't want to stop. Not because I'm bad, it's because I didn't know then, but it was His grace strengthening me not to stop. Week went by, nothing, spit going down my mouth, crying because I couldn't understand the Bible, but I didn't stop. I didn't know why I didn't stop, but it was His grace empowering me to keep going. Come on, son. One more day. You don't feed it, let my strength carry you through. And I made it. So I attribute my 28 years of God and not burning out in God to growing in my lowest point. See, it's easy to pray when you want to pray. It's real easy to read your Bible when you feel like reading your Bible. But when you dig deep, when every devil in hell seems to be around your mind and camped around you, it's another thing to keep going. That was a rough moment in my life, man. Spitting going down my mouth. I couldn't remember nothing. I wasn't discouraged. And I didn't want to quit. That wasn't in my mind. I just felt it was fruitless. But I didn't stop. And now I know why. Because of His grace empowering me. His grace in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul referred to it as dunamis. As power. The power of God is His grace. And I was empowered not to stop. another moment in my life, I was healthy again, reading the Bible, but every devil in hell was encamped around my mind. I didn't know what to do. I was turning left, turning right. I felt nothing, 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 nothing. I went to that man right there. I said, I need help, man. I'm at the roughest point of my life. What do I do? He said to me, no hug. Didn't cry with me. You got to keep going, buddy. That's what he said. Every emotion in the world around my mind, I felt fruitless again. Those two moments in my life, he said, you got to keep going, man. Those two moments are engrafted in me forever. In those two moments of not feeling nothing, I grew and matured. And I know what it is like to have endurance now. Not on the mountain up high, feeling everything that God was, but when I didn't feel God at all, Christ in me, the power of God was in me, strengthening me not to stop. That has carried me. That's why I can't see, not yet. I want to see, but it's not a hindrance to me. I still get up in the, every morning and do what I like doing, spending time with Jesus. Thank God for the high moments in your life. Thank God when you feel them. Thank God for that. Thank God, man. And when we feel God, we say God is so awesome. You know, God was awesome when you didn't feel him. He was awesome back then. So those two moments carried me in my life. Fighting through those moments helped me so much. Critical in my life. You're not always going to feel Jesus, man. But you'll always be strengthened by his grace. I didn't do nothing special today. I just did my daily meditations. They're just Colossians, and I didn't even prepare for at all. I didn't prepare. I didn't feel like to prepare. I just stayed there, and I did have a good time in intimacy. Pastor Brock said something last Wednesday that it rocked my boat. He said, you got to add intimacy to your mortification. If not, it'll be legalistic. That is so right, man. I just stayed there worshiping God. My wife was in and out of the room. I was just talking to God, just worshiping God. And just had a blast. And I went through John 17 last week, just going through it. And I asked myself, why do you preach? And you know what? I'm a weird kind of preacher because in 28 years, I've never been one. Never, I can say this with a clear conscience, I've never been one that has thought to myself, why can't I preach more? Never, that's never come to my mind. Never. In 28 years, why don't Pastor Bronk let me preach? Never, that's just not me. I think that's a strong point. Never wanted to be called upon. I will honor him. In fact, my wife started a vacation. We were going to go away tonight somewhere. The Fort Myers, but he called and I said, yes, sir, I'll preach. But in 28 years, I know some people leave churches because they don't get to preach. Me, I'm just as happy sitting in the back. And when I get called upon, I will obey and submit to my pastor because I submit to Jesus. You're not going to submit to him unless you submit to Jesus. You won't. You won't. But if you submit to Jesus, you'll submit to your pastor, and you'll submit to Marty, and you'll submit to Robert, and you'll submit to Bailey. You'll submit to the saints if you submit to Jesus. If you're not submitting to somebody in the church, then you're fully not submitted to Jesus. So that's never been something that you preach, and you don't preach, you're just as happy. So I'll go through John 17, and Jesus is just so remarkable, man. His demeanor, his moral disposition, if I may. He had one thing on his mind. From the womb to the tomb, he knew his mission in life was to glorify the Father. What the Father wanted him to say, he said. Everything that God wanted Jesus to say, he said. He didn't say nothing that God did not want him to say. That is remarkable. Everything God wanted him to do, he did. He didn't do anything outside of that witness. Nothing outside of that witness. He said in John 17, I'm here to glorify you. Let that sink in. I am here to glorify. I have one purpose in my life, that is to glorify my Father and to finish the work that he gave me to do. Let it sink in now. Let it sink in. We got one purpose in life. That's not to preach. I mean, I preach because that's my calling. Whether I can articulate scripture or remember scripture, I had to be doing it so that Christ would be seen in me. If not, it's vanity. He said, I got one purpose. I'm here to glorify my Father. I'm here so that everyone, when they see me, they see my Father. He was not self-centered. His life revolved around his Father. People have a problem with his next statement. I said, everything Jesus did, he did in his humanity. In this church, we know that to be true. And they say, but Homer, he was deity. I said, I didn't say he wasn't deity. He's always been deity. But what he did it in humanity. Well, I got a problem with that, Homer. Well, do you? Well, Jesus said in John 15, if I had not done the work that any other man had done, they would not have sinned. Any other man had done. A man in his humanity, Jesus did it. A man that sweated. A man that would cry. The man that would eat. That would go to the bathroom. A man that would walk and get physically tired. A man did it. Jesus knew his mission. I'm here to glorify my Father. I'm here. I have a work to do. And I'm here, Father. I've done the work you gave me to do. I'm here to glorify you. I've manifested your name to those that you gave me. All that you are, Father, I have let it be known unto them. All the mercy and compassion that you are, they've seen who you are through my conduct. I'm here to glorify you. Is revival a talking point to you, or do we want to glorify God? Is it a talking point? Let me tell you, if you talk revival, you don't spend time with him consistently, it's just a talking point. It's a flat out remembrance of what Pastor Bronk says. It's just a talking point. But if you surrender to the gospel, if you give your time to the gospel, I have one, the striving of my heart is to fulfill the gospel. I heard Gary Carpenter say one time, and he's so honest, he said, I don't walk in everything that I preach, but I strive to. The more we grow, the more and more we obey. The more and more that new man is renewed. The knowledge of God. Jesus said, I have one purpose in life. I'm going to showcase my Father. Who he is, you'll see him in me. I do nothing of myself. I'm here to showcase, to show off my dad. We cry revival. We see a hurting generation. We see people dying. 51 immigrants were left in a seminar the other day, and they were toasted to death by the Mexican drug cartels. Homer, you can't talk, you ain't gonna talk bad about the Mexicans because they're Mexican. No, they need to be put in jail, every single one of them. I don't care if they're Mexican or not. They need to be caught and prosecuted and put in jail for life. Period. I don't care if they're Mexican. Find them, put them in jail for the rest of their life. No parole, no nothing, just bread and water in jail. This world, hurting people, dying people, our politicians on the left and on the right. God's glory has to be ushered into this country, man. Preaching is not going, now it's vital, don't get me wrong. But preachers preaching without intimacy is not going to move this nation. We're here to glorify the Father. We're not here as a talking point, talking about a manifestation of the kingdom of God or revival. If our heart is not pure, if we're not here to glorify God, then it is a talking point. Jesus said, I'm here to glorify my Father. I have a work to do, and I'm going to finish that work. Father, I've done this work. It's time to go back to you. I finished what you called me to do. What you called me to do? I manifested your name to those that you gave me. All that you are, Lord, I showed it to them. I laid down my life and showed them who you were. I finished my course. I have glorified you, Lord. That should be our heart's cry. I've heard people say, I want to preach. I want to do this. I want to do that. And that might be your calling. Man, but let your heart be pure, man. Let every word be seasoned with grace and with salt. And the objective of your heart is that when you preach, you want this man named Jesus glorified. You want to showcase who Jesus is and who the Father is by our lifestyle. Are you there, Homer? Not all the way, but I strive for it. When I miss the mark, I shed a tear and say, Lord, forgive me. You think of 1 John, the book of 1 John. Jesus in his humanity. John wrote 1 John. He wrote who God was based on what he saw in Jesus. Think about this. He wrote an epistle of who God was based on what he saw in Jesus. John based that God was love based on the love that Jesus walked in. I was in the day just worshiping God. I said, God, that my heart would be pure, Lord. That all that I ever want to do is glorify you. And when I preach, that I preach with compassion, and the posture of my heart would be to be on my knees preaching this gospel to the promiscuous woman, the woman that had an abortion, to the transgender, that my heart would be so pure and postured before you. Well, I want to preach this gospel in love, Lord. God knows I've received mercy from him. And man, I want to show you the same exact mercy. I don't want no stripes on your back, according to Deuteronomy 25. I have nothing against anybody, man. The only person I don't like is my dog. And my cell phone. Right, Nathaniel? But John wrote 1 John based on the conduct of Jesus. He saw the conduct of Jesus for 3.5 years. And he said, God is love. Think about it now. In his humanity, a perspiring man, and they would wake up with bad breath, that would get hungry, that would sweat, had to change clothes, take a bath. That man in humanity, deity, but in humanity, he displayed all that God is and was in human flesh. in human flesh, God said, John said, God is love. Years, Pastor Dave says, when he wrote this epistle, and he wrote, God is love, beholding the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. That is incredible. If I may per se, the ingredients in Jesus, or what Jesus had working in him, we have in us. We sweat. We eat. We bathe. He did it in humanity. We can do it in humanity. And Pastor is so right what he said. And I can back what he said up spiritually. Like I can back it up biblically when he said that God doesn't want more time. He wants all your time. I can back it up word for word. Not verbatim, but I can take you there in the scripture. Well, I can't take you there. I know where it's at, but not exactly. But Jesus told the rich young ruler to deny himself, take up your cross, and follow me. The rich young ruler didn't. He loved money. He despised the poor. You got to read the whole gospel. He despised the poor because he was rich and he wouldn't give money to the poor. Just like a typical religious person, he despised the poor. What must I do, Master? Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus told the rich young ruler, take up your cross and follow me. So I stopped in that portion of scripture and I said to myself, I know to an extent what taking up your cross means. I know that, Lord. We deny our flesh and we take up our cross and we put off the old and we put on the new. We obey the scripture. But I've never really been completely satisfied with that answer. And I know why. He said, come. Take up the cross, he told the rich young ruler, and follow me. He didn't follow Jesus because he loved money. A few verses down, Peter's talking to Jesus. And I'm fast forwarding this particular passage just to get to the point. He said, take up your cross, he told the rich young ruler, take up your cross and follow me. And I said to myself, God Almighty, I know there's more to taking up my cross daily than what I understand. There's got to be more. A few verses down, I think it's Mark 9. It's in a couple of different gospels. So a couple of verses down in this particular chapter, Simon Peter says to Jesus, listen carefully. Now we're after a complete definition of what does it mean to take up your cross daily and to follow Jesus. Pastor Bronk said prophetically that God said, I don't want more. Miss Gay said, amen. Pastor Bronk, through the Holy Ghost, said, I want it all. Miss Gay said, yes, Miss Gay got it right. What do you mean, Homer? Because a few verses down from that passage, Simon Peter says to Jesus, Lord, we have forsaken all and followed thee. You with me? Jesus told, take up your cross daily and follow me. And follow me. Simon Peter says, I'm taking up my cross. How do you know? Because I have forsaken all and I've followed you. I have forsaken all. All the Holy Ghost said through Pastor Bronk, I don't want more. I want it all. Simon Peter said, I've forsaken all and I'm going to follow you. And he forsook it all and died a martyr. Are you with me? He doesn't want more. He wants it all. And the 11 gave it all. John was the only one that wasn't martyred, but make no mistake, he was a martyr. He was a martyr. Yeah. I swear to you, nothing within the notes of my mind today. That's why I just relaxed today. I knew to relax in God today. I didn't prepare not one bit did I prepare this. I just knew to relax. When I did try to prepare my mind, I would get a check in my heart, just worship God. He don't want more of us. He wants it all. But John was able to determine that God was love based on a lifestyle of a human being. That gives me hope. When I was a sinner, and I'm not glorifying Satan because I don't do the things I used to do. If I was still doing them, I'd be glorifying Satan. When I was a sinner, I fed myself junk and I sinned more and I sinned more and I sinned more and I got more promiscuous and I sinned more. I did more crack. I did more cocaine. I fed myself junk and I sinned more. If that's true, then I got hope in the spirit. If I fed myself junk and sinned more, what if I feed myself the gospel? What if I give myself to the Holy Ghost every day? When I was a sinner, I fed myself junk and I sinned more. So in the spirit, if I give myself to the gospel and I give myself to the Holy Ghost and I give myself to fasting and to worship and prayer, I'm going to do more in the spirit for the kingdom of God. That's why Paul said in Colossians, you be risen with Christ. Seek those things that are above. Things, plural. Well, Christ sitteth on the right hand side of the Father. Set your affections or set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead. You are dead and your life is hid in Christ with God. When Christ, who is our life, set up here, and shall also be with him in glory. When I set my affection on the things above, I get stronger. Grace increases. Grace is multiplied. I get hungrier and hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. When I set my affection, this mind, my spiritual mind on things above, something happens to me. Mortification takes place. When I lift up my hands and say, Jesus, I love you. I worship you. I'm here to glorify you. I begin to develop an image inside of myself. Why? Because I set my affection on things that are above. I seek those things which are from above. What things? Homer, can you help me? Yes, I can help you. I can take you to specifics on what those things are according to this text. Make no mistake, the things that are above, all right, below in Colossians 3. The things he told me to seek from above are written right there in Colossians 3. You see what I'm getting at? So Paul said, the church in Colossae, he said, you'll be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right-hand side of the Father. Set your affection or set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead to the things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, come, you shall be with him in glory. Seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above. See, you're a new man. You get born again. He knows, don't do it. But that new man, now this I did go over today, has to be renewed. The NASB and Amplified got it right. They have it as a complete progression. Because if I was complete in Christ, that scripture has been twisted for so long, Pastor Bronk. You hear Christians say, I'm complete in Christ. And I say yes with the reservation. Because it's true, but not in the sense that the saints use it in. The writer's saying, you are complete in Christ. You died in Christ. You rose in Christ. You're ransomed by Christ. You've been quickened by Christ. You're born again through Christ. You're healed through Christ. You're complete in the redemption that he provided. He said, don't add holy days. Don't add the Sabbath. Don't add traditions of men to your walk. You're complete in the redemptive work. That's why he said you're complete in him. You're complete through the redemptive work of Christ. You still got to grow. You still got to grow and grow. So they say, no, no, I'm complete. I'm complete. No, you're not. You're complete through the redemptive plan that he gave you. You can't be any more born again than you are now. He said, don't add holy days and feast days and a new moon and meat and drink to your walk. No, you're complete in Christ. You're free from the rudiments of the world. You don't need to add nothing to it. You're a son of God. You're complete in him. If I was complete in him and it was a done deal, then I don't need this. I don't need the Holy Ghost. To renew our mind. Like I was a sinner and got super perverted because I added junk to my life. Now, I'm saved by grace. And righteousness reigns inside of me because I add substance to my walk, man. I seek those things which are from above. So what John determined in Jesus, that God was love, the world to be able to determine by seeing me, that God is love by my walk. That's why he said, seek those things which are from above. Set your affections on them. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then Homer, you also shall be with him in glory. Therefore, mortify your members which are upon the earth. Don't worry about the members. You're born of God. Set your affections on things above. And I've learned this. It's good to read the Bible, to pray in the Spirit. But there ain't nothing like reading the Bible and praying in the Spirit when there's a good, when you worship and just pray in the Holy Ghost, it's great. You can't go wrong. But when you add anointing to that time, when you add intimacy to that time, it's so much sweeter, man. It's so much sweeter. So much sweeter. You know, in his presence, there's no offense. In his presence, there's a peace and serenity. In his presence, it's just you and him. Just you and him. There's love in his presence. You feel transformation in his presence. If you don't feel his presence, you still set your emotions on the side and you still lifted up your voice and worshiped him. I'm winding it down, believe it or not. So again, rewinding a little bit. So when I was a sinner, I did a lot of things. The sinner to sin more. And the more I sinned, the more fun it became. Then I got born again. And I knew right away that I had to read the Bible. I began to read the Bible. I got filled with the Holy Ghost and started doing the essentials. I told my boys the other day, I met my kids the other day, we had a good church service at the house. I said, I've been telling you guys for a long time, and I can say that. I said, don't sin. And that's a true message. But if I tell them not to sin without intimacy, going to be hard. It's going to be hard. And they agreed with me. We had a real good time. So we set up a goal. How much time to speak with God, and nothing legalistic. I just said, consider this. Read your Bible for yay, this amount of time. We all agreed. So what we're after really is an intimate relationship. Pastor Brown said, if you're going to go into mortification, which we are, we know what that means. There's got to be intimacy. There has to be intimacy. If you were complete in God like the majority of the church thinks, I've heard people say some crazy things. If you were complete in God and it was a done deal, then why did he say, be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above? Set your affection, set your mind on things above, not on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall all be with him in glory. Then what things are we to seek that are from above? This I do know, the things that are above are on the earth in Colossians 3 on paper. You with me? So he said, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand side of the Father. Set your affection or set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. So what's above? The kingdom of God. We know the kingdom of God is here. You with me? So Paul says, seek the things which are above. Well, Christ sitteth at the right hand side of the Father. Set your affection on the things that are above. So as a teacher, I said to myself, I got to figure out what those things are. It's got to be there. And you might know this is not a great revelation. If I was completely complete in him, I would have to seek the things that are above. I wouldn't have to grow. He said in Colossians 3, I think it's verse 12, what we're looking for is the things that are from above, Ms. Gay, that we are to seek. We're looking for in the scripture in black and white the things that are above that we're supposed to set our mind and affections on. So Paul said in Colossians 3 verse 12, as the elect of God, put on therefore mercies. No, what is it? Holy. Okay, let me slow down a little bit. I can't get. He said, as the elect of God, put on therefore mercies. I think he says, kindness, humbleness of mind. Listen carefully now. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a quarrel against another, forgive him just as Christ forgave you. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. What did he say, though? Listen carefully. He said, and above all these things, what things? Of all these things listed that are from above, he said, in 1, seek those things which are from above. He said in 12, he told us what things which were from above that we are to seek. He said, as the elect of God, put on therefore bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If one have a quarrel against another, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things that are from above, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. But what things do we seek? Faith. We seek gentleness. We seek for we long suffering, meekness, humbleness of mind, kindness. We seek these things by allowing God's word to dwell in us in an abundant manner. Are you with me? those are the things that from above that we are to seek. How do we seek if we download Colossians in us time and time and time again, seeking those things which are from above, which are from above? We lift up our hands and we worship the Savior. You know how easy it gets when you worship God and you feel Him to put on the new man? It's easier. 1 John 5 says, and His commandments are not grievous. They're not grievous. 1 John, in one verse, chapter 5, validates what we preach about Romans 7. You with me on that? Most of the church esteemed 7 as a Christian struggling with sin. Well, if that's true, then 1 John 5 is a lie. He said, your commandments are not a burden. Completely validating what we preach about Romans 7. Complete validation. So 6 and 8, tell me how free I am. 7, I'm in bondage now? No. John said his commandments are not grievous. They're not a burden to me. So we seek those things which are from above. What's from above? Kindness. Meekness. Humbleness of mind. Forbearing one another. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against another, just as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things that are from above, there's one more thing that's from above. And that's charity. And I said to myself, I walk in the things that are from above. That's a form of charity. Why do you specify charity after you say to do these things? Why? Charity is the word agape, the God kind of love. And I just prayed in the Spirit. He said, put on charity. John said that God was love based on the conduct and the moral conduct and the demeanor and the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. We should be after the same thing to give Him glory and to finish the work that He called us to do, that is to manifest His name to the world. And so we seek those things from above. We do it in a habitual manner. We want to walk in mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind and forbearing and long-suffering and in the charity of God. But I said to myself, why did He say charity after He lifted kindness, humbleness of mind? That's love, Lord, but why would He say charity? Which is a bond of perfectness. Then He said, and let the word of God dwell in you richly, the Logos of God. That's one way that you seek those things from above. You let that word dwell in you in an abundant manner. He said also in chapter 4, you pray without ceasing. He said also in chapter 4, you are people of thanksgiving. Three essential instructions that He gave us to seek those things which are from above. He said, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Pray without ceasing and be people of thanksgiving. Three essentials He gave us in that short epistle on how we're to seek those things which are from above. Colossians, if we're complete in Him, like some say, which we're not, we're complete as far as redemption. We start adding holy days, feast days, drink, meat, taste not, touch not, handle not, the rudiments of the world. You're getting away from the Christ that you're complete in. You with me? That's what He means. He's not saying there's no more ever growing in you. Colossians was not written by Paul in a unregenerate state, a week old in Christ. Paul wrote Colossians as a man that fasted. Paul wrote Colossians as a man that prayed in the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen on that one? Paul prayed in the Holy Ghost. You don't want proof? Read 1 Corinthians 14:18. Paul was the man that gave himself to the Holy Scriptures. Paul was the man that worshiped God in prison. So the things that he said to do are going to be done to those that seek God through prayer, through an abundant understanding of God's word, through fasting, through worship. There's no other way we can. There's no other way that we can. A born again believer can't, a freshly born again believer can't endure 2 Corinthians chapter 12. They'll renounce. You might endure for a little bit, but you won't last long. You got to put on the new man a lot. When you get born again, you put on the new man. Past tense. Past tense. You get born again, you put on Christ according to Galatians 4. You put on the new man. You're born again. Romans 13 says, put on the new man. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and give no provision to the flesh. That's present tense. You put him on often. He said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and give no provision to the flesh to fulfill the lust of it. He was talking to born again Christians that had already put on Christ, past tense. Now he's talking present tense. Present tense, put him on again and again and again and again. If you're complete in him, you have to put him on all the time. Because you're quote unquote complete. No, man, we grow in grace according to 2 Peter, the last verse of chapter 3. We grow in steadfastness. So the things that are above, we're rich in mercy. We walk in kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against another, since Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Close it up. And above all these things just listed that are from above that we are to seek, above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. I said to myself, why did you say charity? And I felt the Holy Ghost lead me to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to paraphrase this in NASB and King James. Mix him up a little bit when I quote this. It's 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Charity. Charity is patient. It's kind. Envieth not. Vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Charity is never self-centered. Charity is never provoked. Charity has no recollection of wrong done to it. Charity does not rejoice in iniquity. In ASB, but charity rejoices with the truth. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Paul, the writer of Corinthians, wrote Colossians. He said, charity, it never fails. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are from above. So when it's all said and done and we breathe our last breath here on earth, when we're eulogized, people may say about Corey, about Marty, about Ms. Gay, about Pastor Bronk. All I can tell you about Corey and Robert and Bailey, they walked in love. They showed me who God was. That's what we're after. We're to glorify God, to finish the work that He's called us to do, as to manifest forth His name to the world. Or to showcase who God is by laying down our life. Peter said, we have forsaken all and follow you. Jesus don't want you following Him half-hearted. He don't want 80%. If you're a disciple a servant, a doulos. He wants it all. Don Kraft used to say, if you can't run with the big dogs, stay on the porch. Remember that, Pastor? Came on with the big dogs, stay on the porch. Amen. Charity. It never fails. Amen. Well, when you don't feel him, it's time to quit, right? Hallelujah.